Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to heal your mind, body, and spirit? You can give yourself the gift of whole body wellness. Stay tuned for the next hour as Audrey Michelle brings you the new hit show, Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate. On Transformation Talk Radio, Audrey is going to take you on a journey to healing and wellness by sharing her infinite wisdom and creating incredible conversations with the expert guests she brings on. Get ready to rewire your life. Here is your host, Audrey Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rewired Life Radio, where we learn to love, heal, and celebrate. Of course, I'm your host, Audrey Michelle, and each week here on Rewired Life Radio, we get to talk with inspiring women, empowering you to love yourself, heal your body and mind, and celebrate life. You know, rewiring your life is all about shifting neuroplastic pathways, right? I've been talking about this all summer, and really just building on it with each guest. And it's really about how we've created these patterns in our life, either consciously or unconsciously. And these patterns, you know, maybe they were helpful at one time, but what about now? Are these pathways helpful now? And I'm so excited, you guys, because my guest today, I mean, this woman is a conversation changer. She's been active in the transformational world ventures, both here and abroad, as an entrepreneur, a nonprofit founder. She's a public speaker, a facilitator, a program developer. Holy smokes, right? You guys, just wait, there's more. Her proudest accomplishment is her transformation from survivor to thriver after a long-term childhood sexual abuse. And she has now committed her life to shifting the national conversation around sexual violation from one of shame and silence to heroism and fierce hope. Doesn't that give you chills? I'm so excited. So Lisa is the founder of Paraloom. She empowers victims of sexual violation and trauma to continue past the survivor stage. And here's the key, into heroically reclaiming the treasure of their true selves, shining in the world without shame. You guys, let's welcome Lisa Foster to Rewired Life Radio. Hi, honey.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Likewise. You know, this has been, we've been talking about this for like a long time, so I'm super excited that you are finally here. We're finally getting this going. Our, you know, the universe has finally aligned and we're like in this conversation now. So I have one more thing to add here about you, my dear.
Okay.
Lisa has spoken on the TEDx stage, right? If you're a speaker, that's like your dream, right? To get on the TEDx stage. And so I just wanted to share this with you guys, what she spoke about, the sexual violation and, you know, what we're talking about today. It was so beautiful and powerful. It's an absolute must see. So you guys check it out. It's on her website. We're going to be talking about this more today, but Lisa's committed to transforming this conversation about sexual violation. Like I said earlier, from shame and silence to heroism and fierce hope. It is her passion. It's her mission. And I am honored to have you here with me to share you with my audience. So Lisa, let's start here. How did you get to this point? Where did you become so passionate for this subject?
Well, you know, like many of us, my passion for this subject was birthed in pain, in the pain of my own experience. And so as you mentioned, I am a survivor that is now a thriver after long-term sexual abuse in my childhood. So I grew up in a home where beginning as a toddler, I was sexually abused by my father up through mid-elementary school age. So that is where this experience, you know, was birthed, really. And what happened for me is at the age of 20 is when I began to recover my memories. And so then confronted my father, and he denied it, continues to deny it to this day, about 26 years later, 26 and a half years later. I'm going to be 47 next month. And I began soon after what I would now look back and call my heroic journey at age 21, newly married, and began, by the grace of God, working with a wonderful counselor and in a support group. And as I was doing that work and finishing college and in my first year of marriage, what I like to say is that two fires burned inside me. And again, I see these as gifts of grace. I don't know where they came from. But the first fire was that I will be whole. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what it takes. This man, my father, and what he did to me will not be the ending statement, the end of my storyline. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first thing. And then the second fire was that when I am free enough, I'm bringing as many people as possible with me. And so little did I know that it would take a couple of decades, and it would take actually a divorce and my only child graduating from high school to be at the space where, okay, now it's time to bring forth this work of shifting the conversation and bringing folks that have been sexually violated into the space of reclaiming their wholeness, reclaiming the treasure of their true selves so they can shine without any shame in the world.
That's so beautiful. It's, we have so much to talk about. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you talk about within story, right? Within our journey, there's the beginning, the middle, and the end. And I mean, I would totally agree with this. So many of us get stuck in the middle, but we call it the end. So talk to me about that a little bit.
Yes. Well, and you're right. So many of us do, whether we've been sexually violated or not, where what we're experiencing, and particularly when we are in pain, we get stuck in this thought that what I'm experiencing now is how it is always going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what can be so damaging in terms of our experience of daily life. And so in the conversation of sexual violation within the culture, I actually believe our culture and our world hold a lot of limiting beliefs around sexual abuse and sexual violation. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is if we actually do begin to go on this journey of acknowledging our abuse or our violation or our rape or our assault, and we begin to go through a healing process, what can happen is what we get to have is recovery, and that's the end of our story. We get to be, or we have to be in recovery for the rest of our lives. And so one of the things when I was at the place of, okay, I want to bring what would later be called Paraloom to the world, it had been 20 plus years since I had begun my own journey. And what I noticed was that, yes, we had more statistics and we had a ton more, thank God, research around trauma and the brain and modalities of healing. But the language itself still kept us stuck in survivor. Mm-hmm. And that the limitation of my life was going to be, I am a survivor of a crime someone else committed. And to me, that's where this whole idea of, wait a second, there's an end to this story. There's a different ending. There can actually be a happy ending mm-hmm. to this story that we can create. And that's where Joseph Campbell's hero's journey, when I began to understand that, that's when that began to have, there was a place now for me to land in terms of my own journey and in terms of what's available in the third part of our story of choosing to be our own heroes.
Yeah, I love that. So I have to add something to what you're talking about here, because for those of you that have read my book or know my story, I identify with medical sexual trauma, mm-hmm. which, you know, I had therapists for years telling me, like, Audrey, like, the way that you're acting lines up with someone who has had sexual trauma in their life. And I kept being like, no. Like, I've never, and for me, it was like, I've never been raped. I've never been violated. Like, the things that you're talking about, like, I was like, no. Those did not happen to me. And for me, this is where the national conversation comes in around, you know, what is sexual trauma, right? And I had a woman actually, Denise Onofre was on the show here a few months ago. put medical in front of sexual trauma for me. And all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, I totally have that. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody like hurt me. You know, I wasn't violated, but the way that my body, and like you said, we know more about trauma now, and the way my body responded to being diagnosed with endometriosis when I was 14 and all the stuff that goes around the diagnosis and the treatment of the disease, I ended up with sexual trauma. And it was interesting for me as soon as, like you said, there's like this stigma around it, right? As soon as we put medical in front of sexual trauma, I was like, yeah, yeah, that I have. Mm-hmm. And so it's just very interesting you and the way you and I approach it. You know, obviously we had very, very different experiences, but I think the way that you talk about it makes it safer for somebody to be like, oh yeah, I have that. That mm-hmm. happened to me. And I think that's what's so important about what you're up to.
Absolutely. There's something about when we awaken to the reality that this is that. And now there is something I can do about that. When it's sort of in this nebulous place of I'm having all these reactions to life or trigger points or things that I can't access, that's when we just feel so stuck.
Yeah. And the third part, what we're going to continue speaking about today is how you've taken, like you said, Joseph Campbell's hero's journey and applied it to the recovery of sexual violation, sexual trauma, and how you're helping people rewrite their story. Like you said, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and we tend to forget about the end. And so that's where you're coming in with your third part of the story, and helping people recover and rewrite their story in a way that gives you a future almost.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it, not even almost. Absolutely.
Okay. Totally.
And it's what we're worth. It is our value and worth. Yes. Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, Lisa, we have to take a quick break here. You guys, you're listening to Rewired Life Radio with me, Audrey Michelle, and you can learn more about my book, Coaching and Free Meditations at audreymichelle.com. And when we come back, we're going to continue chatting with Lisa of Paraloom. So you guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Welcome to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am so thrilled that we've created this venue for all of you out there.
Dr. Pat Basile will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
What we have heard is that you want to ensure for us that we keep positive, holistic, uplifting, transformative talk radio on the air. We're excited to bring you the contemporary conversations about Lyme disease.
We promise not to let the light fade on Lyme.
So fasten your seatbelts. We've got lots more to share with you in the weeks to come.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio with Dr. Pat and help keep our mission strong on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com, that's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Gain
powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Hi, everybody. We are back on Rewired Life Radio with me, Audrey Michelle. And, you know, our guest today is Lisa Foster of Paraloom, who is talking with us about how we experience trauma, sexual violation, and in her case, how we tend to get stuck in the middle of the story. And that's her sweet spot, where she helps people is getting onto the third part of the story. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about, is the process that she brings to the table, the process that she helps her clients with. Because we tend to forget that you have the choice. You get to rewrite the ending of your story. So before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to get a hold of Lisa, how we can learn more about her. And of course, you can view her amazing TED Talk. So Lisa, go ahead and share with us how we can find more about you.
You can certainly find more out about me and about Paraloom at paraloom.com. And because that is a unique word, I'm going to spell it out. It's Paraloome.com.
And you like smashed two words together on purpose.
I really, really did.
And, tell us why.
And, yes. I love that question. Smash two words together. Yes. So para means near or alongside, and illume is to shine. So really, Paraloom is about coming alongside folks and facilitating their freedom to shine.
Yeah, I know. I wanted you to share that because I think it's brilliant. Because it really does stand for exactly what you're up to. So let's talk about this. So how are you helping people through this process?
Yes. So I said earlier that we use Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey as a template, as a lit path, as an invitation to help those of us, to empower those of us who have been sexually violated, to go on our own heroic journeys, to be our own heroes, to eventually and ultimately create our own happy endings and shine in the world as our true selves without shame. And so Joseph Campbell, he studied myths from around the world. He actually passed away in the mid-80s, but he has left quite a legacy that can be seen all over the place. The hero's journey, what he discovered in terms of a common trajectory in every heroic tale, has been used in psychological development and movies. You think about all the Star Wars films. You think about, Lord of the Rings, any kind of really well-made story or film, you can see the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And so in Paraloom, we simplified it to four main stages: the awakening stage, the recovery stage, the reward stage, and the shining stage.
Mm-hmm. So in awakening, it's really about, I mean, this is what I talk about all the time, right? Waking up to the reality and the impact of what has happened to you. And so you stand alongside, right? Mm-hmm. Your clients, because that can kind of be a scary place to be when you start. I mean, when you were 20, right, you started realizing this. And again, when I was 30, maybe, when Denise put medical in front of sexual trauma, and I went, well, yeah, I have that. Okay. What does that mean? Now what do I do? You know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about that. How do you help people through this awakening stage?
That's a great question. So yeah, the awakening, especially when we're talking about sexual violation, it's awakening to the reality or the impact of sexual violation on our lives. And for some folks, that it's more about awakening to the impact. It's about awakening to, wow, this thing that happened to me is impacting every area of my life. It is what is holding me back from being fully expressed, from enjoying my life, from enjoying my, you know, closest relationships, from having the career and expression that I want in the world. For other folks, like myself, it's actually even awakening to this happened. And I've seen people awaken in all different ways. It can happen through hearing a speaker. It can happen through our child becoming the age we were when we were abused. It can happen because we have to be in the same vicinity as our perpetrator.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, what Paraloom provides is the path. In the awakening stage, it's all about, here is the invitation to be your own hero. Here is the invitation to begin that healing process. So that's really what that stage is about. And people really get to choose at that point, whether they go on their heroic journey and begin to move into the unknown world of healing, or if they choose to stay in the known world and really say no to that invitation. And it truly is their choice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, even in my own experience, like, nothing really happens unless you choose it yourself. Like, somebody can suggest all day long that I do X, Y, and Z, but it doesn't matter until I'm ready to do it myself. And I'll just share, like, with my own recovery and awakening to the fact that there was some sexual trauma that my body experienced. And it, you know, the obvious stuff for me was, you know, going to my annual appointment at the OBGYN. Like, clearly I have issues doing that. That was obvious to me. Like, walking into hospitals, got it. Like, those sort of things, you know, being in a similar spot to where the trauma happened, I could get that. The stuff that I didn't see coming was, I can't handle it when metal touches my skin, especially in the, like, medical realm, even like a stethoscope. Like, I know what you're doing. Like, you're not hurting me in the way that you think about when you think about sexual trauma in the medical realm, right? It's touching my arm, but I, like, can't handle it. And the other one I didn't see coming was the dentist, because they used those metal scrapers to touch me. And, you know, bless my dentist's heart. Like, they hang in there with me the whole time. Like, I cry. I still cry. We're working on it. It gets better. But, like, sometimes I'm like, so did I get a B+ today? Because I'm ready to quit. And they're like, eh, we'll call it a B+. I'm like, cool. I'll see you in 6 months because that's all I got today. You know, and they're cool with that. And that's how we do it. And, you know, next time we pick up and maybe I get an A- and maybe I don't. But it was interesting to me to witness how many areas, like you said, areas of my life it impacted that I didn't see coming.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing that, you know, when we awaken and we start to make the connection, and that's really what the awakening stage gives us. The gift in the awakening stage, in addition to the invitation, is connection. Like, oh my gosh, that's why. I'm not crazy. You know, it's not
right.
When you're describing what happens to you when you go to the dentist,
crazy. Because they was like numb. They numb everything. Like, I pretty much was just like, oh, you're gonna clean my teeth? Can you give me the gas? And they're no, Audrey, we can't.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure? Because that would make my life so much better. And I'm just like trying to crawl off the chair, and bless their hearts, they'd just be like, I'd be like, I'm done, you guys. They're like, we got 4 teeth cleaned, Audrey. I'm like, yeah, 4 is better than 0. Peace out. See you next time.
Yes.
And this time, at least now I have the words to tell them what's going on for me, you know, and bless their hearts. They're totally receptive. And it was hard as a very vulnerable place to just be crying my eyes out and be like, look, here's what goes on for me when you put those things in my mouth. Like, if you could find plastic ones, I think we might be okay. But until then, I'm just, you know, takes my whole day because after I cry my eyes out at the dentist's office, I come home and go to sleep.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And to me, what you're describing is PTSD.
It is.
You know, and again, to de-shamify all of that, to be able to go, of course you have PTSD. Yeah. And how can you begin to heal? How can you begin to get back a full range of living experiences that is redemptive for you? And that is a process. And that's really why, you know, stage two is that recovery stage. Okay, how can we begin to heal? And in the context of sexual violation, I think the two biggest dragons, if you will, in that stage of our heroic journey are the dragons of shame and PTSD.
Mm-hmm. And not understanding. Like, I didn't get it, mm-hmm. you know, until, mm-hmm. Like you said, the dots connected and all of a sudden I was just like, well, that makes perfect sense then, doesn't it? Like, literally, they're just cleaning your teeth, Audrey. Like, it happens to people every day, but it's that big of a deal to me because of the PTSD part of it. So you have what you call the Transformation Tribe.
Yes. Yes. And this is a referral network for the recovery stage of healing practitioners beginning here in Denver that have different modalities that can bring, they have different gifts to give those of us who've been sexually violated so we can heal. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to create a transformation tribe because, as you can imagine, in the conversation of sexual violation that is still so shrouded in shame and silence, it can be very challenging to find healers that can help us, that can see us as heroes and not just as broken people who are stuck in recovery. And I have had my own experience and many others where they have gone to a therapist and it hasn't been the best experience and it's actually been re-traumatizing. And so really wanting, and then there's many others, many more, I should clarify, many, many more that are absolutely so gifted and understand trauma and understand the journey of sexual violation. But that's really what I wanted to do in creating the tribe. And I wanted to also bring in body work professionals. I wanted to bring in all sorts of different things so that when a person decides, okay, I'm ready, they don't have to just go down one path of, okay, I have to start with therapy. They could start with acupuncture. They can start with meditation or some other modality and begin to have control of their healing journey.
Yeah. And I think it's so powerful too that you have vetted your transformation tribe, right? And you know when you're sending somebody to them. I mean, for me, having a male body worker, like chiropractor, right? The first one I went, it's a disaster. I'm a disaster mm-hmm. because, you know, my trauma, I mm-hmm. always had male doctors. And that's one of the places where it's my trauma comes up. And if I don't have to tell them why I'm such a disaster, like why I'm crying and nothing's happened, Audrey, you just walked in the door and you're crying. But if I don't have to tell them why, like, huh, that helps so much.
Well, that's a beautiful observation. I totally agree. And there is a vetting process, absolutely, for the Transformation Tribe. And often, to be honest with you, often a lot of these healers that want to be on the tribe have some kind of personal experience with sexual violation, and they have tremendous empathy.
Yeah.
And understanding.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm honored to be a part of it. It's a beautiful thing, what you're up to. So, Lisa, we have to take a break again. Can you believe it? So, you guys, you're listening to Rewired Life Radio with me, Audrey Michelle, and we are talking with Lisa Foster of Perilum about sexual violation, sexual trauma, and how she uses the hero's journey as a process for helping people through what they've experienced and helping them rewrite their stories. So stay tuned, you guys. We'll be right back with more Rewired Life Radio.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests. moments as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net. To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Huff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Have you ever said to a friend, "I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special." Or how about, "I am working on getting a job I love." Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, "I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love." While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Everybody, and welcome back to Rewired Life Radio, where we learn to love, heal, and celebrate. I'm your host, Audrey Michelle, and today my guest is Lisa Foster, who is talking with us about empowering women to heal by empowering you to rewrite your story. Again, you can learn more about Lisa and view her TEDx talk by going to her website, paralume.com. Again, it's P-A-R-I-L-L-U-M-E.com. And, today, Lisa and I have been in deep conversation about sexual violation, sexual trauma, and how victims and survivors tend to forget that there's three parts to the story. And I think this is a critical shift in our collective consciousness and in the conversation about this topic. It's such a huge part of our ability to heal. So, you know, Lisa was saying she takes the hero's journey and applies it to the healing process. And so last segment, we talked about awakening to, how the sexual violation, sexual trauma has affected all parts of your life. And then how she uses her transformation tribe and her process to help her clients recover. And so we're going to spend this segment talking about how people can get stuck in recovery. And, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, there's the beginning, middle, and the end. And sometimes we like to get stuck in the middle and then call it the end. And so this is literally what we're talking about here. We get stuck in this recovery mode and then we call that the end, but it's not the end. So Lisa, what do you see with your clients in this arena of getting stuck in recovery?
Well, and it's interesting because I don't think any of us really like getting stuck as much as we don't even know there's another option. There just had not been another option. And I had spent 20 plus years, you know, doing various healing modalities, all of which made a difference. But I didn't know there was a stage beyond the recovery stage. So we talk about the hero's journey and there's stage one awakening, stage two recovery. This is the most challenging stage of the journey. This is when we're slaying our dragons, if you will, most particularly of shame and PTSD in the body. And then there's nothing else. Then that's where it usually ends. And so that's really why I wanted to create Paralume. I am not a therapist. I am not in the recovery stage. My offering as a freedom facilitator is in this third stage of the hero's journey, which we call in Paralume the reward stage. So what that is about is I'm really believing that there is a reward for our recovery work. And that it's about time we access it for those of us who are ready for it. Mm-hmm. So for those who have done enough recovery work that they're in the space of wanting to be and play big in their lives and shine from the inside out, and for some folks to make a difference in this conversation, what the signature offering of Paralume is the Free to Shine program. And so that's what we provide for folks. Mm-hmm.
You know, I get this question a lot, and you know, whether it's in my practice, if it's for me, if it's the people I speak with, this is a hard balance of living your life full out, right? Mm-hmm. And then working through recovery. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like an up and down, I guess, I don't want to call it battle, but you know, feeling like you've gotten through all of the things, right? I've cleared all the things and now I'm on to living my and being my best self. And then what if some more recovery shows up?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that is something that is really important to address, because I think the way that we view ourselves and the language we use about ourselves impacts our experience and our expression in life. So for myself, what I say, and for those that go through the Free to Shine program, I don't see us as, and this is the big distinction, in being my own hero, I am an overcomer of sexual violation. So I am, yes, a victim. I am, yes, a survivor, but I'm also my own hero and an overcomer. And as an overcomer, I still can get triggered. Absolutely. Things can still come up. And what I've learned from this new space and with the tools that I have, and that's part of what the Free to Shine program gives, is there are three tools that we can use to create internal shifts in our lives in any moment. But the point is, when I get triggered, I just move through that trigger as a whole person who's being triggered and then moves right through it. And the other thing I want to say about it is the hero's journey is, you know, I talk about it in terms of the Paralume model, in terms of a lit path for people to know the hope of healing and what's possible. I use that at a macro level. But truthfully, once we've awakened and once we've begun that recovery work, and certainly once we're in the reward and shining stages of our journey, there are many little mini heroic journeys that we go through. I mean, in fact, you could be having your own heroic journey through all four stages every time you go to the dentist, like you talked about.
Hi, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you feel about that? You know, because I have so many clients that are just like, how is it that I have more things? When do the things end? And I'm just like, oh, honey, that's really cute. There's always going to be a thing. But the point is, from a macro level, like you're talking about, we're digging through, right? And we're learning how to deal with our triggers. But then on a micro level, you know, the universe is always going to throw us a curveball and be like, hey, you're like rocking this. I think it's time to heal this thing now, you know?
Absolutely. And how we frame something, how we view, that's the killer. First of all, the shame is the killer, I think, in all of it. Because even the shame of, oh my gosh, I've done this work And now this is coming up. Now, let's say I've done this work and now the invitation to heal my sexuality in my relationship is showing up. Like, okay, suddenly I'm living at a certain level and it's like, wow, I'm not really having intimate sex. And so that whole invitation to be able to look at that as a leveling up versus a falling backward is key here. And to understand that truly there are tools and there is a way to live that allows for a more consistent experience of joy and peace and a sense of knowing who we are, knowing our voice and choice in the world, and being and playing big and enjoying our lives. And that's what I want to give people, to have the baseline be different for people, to have the tools in hand so that when things come up, because life does keep lifing, as I once heard in Landmark, you know, and it's so true. It's not going to stop lifing. But when we have the tools and when we have the awareness of the fact that we are whole, that we are perfect, that we are complete, and that every breakdown that we have is an invitation to another level of breakthrough, another level of redemption, another level of getting to experience ourselves as the heroes we are, it shifts it. Doesn't mean it's not painful in the moment, because it always is.
Right, yeah. But
it gives us the impotence and the hope to move through that, to shine even in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to share this. I have another story. So my husband and I built a, well, we call it the barn, but it is kind of like, it looks like a barn, but it's like a cabin, in Nebraska. And, so for the last 5 weeks before it was finished, I went home and, you know, my dad's a contractor and he's retired. So, he didn't build it, but he was definitely there during the like finish of it. And I was helping, and because I wanted, you know, as an interior designer was my background. And so I had lots of ideas about everything. And just to make it easier, being 8 hours away, I went back for the last 5 weeks. And there was this one day where they were installing the fireplace. We got this like wood burner fireplace. And you know, my husband didn't care about much when it came to the cabin. Like, he literally left most of the decisions up to me, except for this wood-burning fireplace and a couple other things that he was involved in. But he wanted it angled and sitting kind of, not in, like in the middle of the room, but not like attached to a wall. So it's kind of just like sitting by itself, angled. And the day that the guys came to install this thing, it was, you know, towards the end of a project, there's like a million subs in and out of a job. And they really just didn't want to be bothered by anything other than just installing it and leaving. And they're wanting to, they're doing it. And I'm like, no, I think my husband really wants it like turned. And they're like, no, that's a bad idea. And here are like five guys, including my dad, my contractor, and the subs that are installing this thing, all looking at me and telling me how this is a bad idea, how I want it to be straight. And I'm like, no, like I need to call my husband, who's not answering because he's in a board meeting. And I was so triggered in that moment. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it in the moment. But I was so triggered that all of these guys were looking at me, and it was, I think it was really just that these guys were looking at me for answers and annoyed, that I was like holding up their day with my little problem and I didn't have an answer. And, you know, I excused myself. I got a hold of my husband. He's like, no, literally I want it angled. Like, that's what we've been talking about. I'll angle it. He's like, I don't care what they say. It's my fireplace. I'm paying for it. And I want it this way. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And, I go back and I explain it and, okay, fine. And my dad and I are driving back to my parents' house that night. And, cause it's about 30 minutes. And so I had a choice, right? I'm sitting there and I'm starting to cry as I'm like releasing that part of the day. And I'm like, oh my God, my dad's going to see me crying. Right. And then I'm going to have to like talk about it. And, so I had a choice, like, do I use the words that I have for myself, or do I just not talk about it? And so I let myself cry. And in the moment, all I knew was Aaron was mean to me, which is not even true a little bit. Mm-hmm. But those were the words that I had right then. And I'm crying. I'm like, Aaron was mean to me about like where to put the fireplace. And my dad's just like, okay. And that was that. And then I get home and I take a shower and I cried, Lisa, for an hour in the shower. And my mom comes down and she's like, are you going to like get out of the shower? Because we, you know, we're supposed to go golfing with my nephew. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have a choice again. And at this point, I had realized why I had been triggered, right? It wasn't that Aaron was mean to me, because he was not. It was that just in that moment, those guys all looking at me for an answer, I didn't have one, triggered that sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. And so I got out of the shower and I'm like, wrapped myself in a towel and I opened the door and I'm like bawling, like ugly crying. And my mom's like, whoa, what's going on? And again, you have a choice to either take that vulnerable moment and be real and let mm-hmm. people see. Mm-hmm. And I did. And that was a powerful choice for me. So I just told my mom what was going on. She's like, okay, do you want to go have dinner with your sister or do you want to stay here? And I'm like, no, I'll go. Still just like ugly crying about it. And she's like, okay, I'll tell your sister what's going on so that they're prepared. I'm like, okay. And, the sweetest thing happened, Lisa. My little nephew at the time was 4. We were supposed to go golfing and he was like, Auntie, you're crying. I was like, yeah, Auntie's just, she's just sad right now. And he like goes and gets me a little Kleenex box and like gives me a big hug. And we proceed to go golfing and he only wants to play with me. And he was just like warming my little heart. And so it's like, as scared as I was to be like in my head, like you said, the shame, right? I was feeling shame yep. for the fact that these guys were able to, like, they didn't mean anything by it. They just had a question and I was not answering it fast enough for them to continue on their day. And that triggered me. And I had an option, like what you were talking about, like to be vulnerable and honest and to show up as my best self, or, to be like, yeah, that's shameful, and I'm just going to stay silent.
Absolutely. Well, I love that, because really when I think about the work that I do in this stage 3 reward, it's about clients accessing their voice and their choice. Mm-hmm. And often we don't actually access our voice in the moment when we're practicing, when we're triggered. Yeah. Absolutely, it gets faster. And what you're talking about is there you were in your process afterwards, accessing your voice and then bringing that out in choice and seeing yeah. the impact. And that is where our power lives, in living out of our internal knowing and then bringing our fullest expression. And that is absolutely a practice. I call it playful yeah. practice in the work that I do. And it gets easier. There's muscles that get developed there. And yeah. And even when it's not, to be able to have full acceptance and grace and beauty and learn from each situation, like you're talking about. Very
yeah.
cool.
And I think the power was like my family knows. And like I said, it's obvious when we, you know, go to the hospital or whatever, like go to see my sister when she just had her babies, that I'm triggered. Like everybody's got that. See that coming at, you know, 10 miles away. But in these other situations, like being able to use my words and let mm-hmm. them know what's going on, like that took our relationship to a whole nother level. And like you said, it took my ability to speed up that process gets faster because I'm growing those muscles, like you were saying.
Absolutely.
And then it gives me a safe place again to just be like, whoopsie, that's happening again. And they'll just be like, oh, got it. Okay, well, do you need some space? Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to, you know?
Yeah.
It just improves the communication. So.
Well, and what it does is it gives other people invitation to show up fully and to be yeah. vulnerable and authentic and to be a support to us and vice versa. To me, that's an example of shining without shame. It doesn't mean that we don't have moments where we go, wow, I just completely shut down. I lost my voice. But to be able to come back quickly and to not go into a shame spiral about it, but to be able to go, you know what? I can shine in this moment of my beautiful humanity.
Mm-hmm. That's an awesome way to put it, because that's not how it feels. I mean,
no,
you know that, but it does not feel beautiful or heroic or anything. It feels like a disaster.
Well, when we've got snot all over and, you know, we're looking quite messy, and that's, but that's the journey to find the beauty in that we are here and we are present and we are alive and awakened to our own internal state and to creating shifts in that. It's very powerful.
Yeah. Well, thank you for, I just wanted to like share my experience mostly so that it could be humanized for the listeners. Like, this is kind of what it looks like when you're triggered in that way. And sometimes it literally makes no sense. Like, until I get to talking about it, then I'm like, oh, that's why I was feeling that way. But it shows up in places, like I said, if you put me in front of a hospital, like, got it. Everybody's got it. Mm-hmm. PTSD, you want to watch it, just follow me. Mm-hmm. But in the other places, it's very confusing. So,
well, that's it. It can be. And that's where that awakening and understanding the journey is so powerful, because it gives us a place to land those situations and to work through them.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when I, literally, this is why I wanted to have you on the show. When I first met you and you put it in the hero's journey terms, it makes it so much easier to understand. It gives you a, I don't know the word for it, but it gave me like a
framework or
a picture, and it just laid it out very clearly for me to just be like, yeah, this is what not only I experience, but my clients experience. And, mm-hmm. and again, whether it's sexual violation, sexual trauma, or you know, trauma in any way, or really anything you're going through, you can apply it to and be like, oh, that's what stage I'm in. Okay, got it.
Absolutely. And what's so fun is that it can actually be applied even to when you have a possibility that you're living into. You're awakened to, okay, I want to create this radio show, or I want to write this book like you've done. And understanding it in a context of, okay, there's an awakening to it. There's the great ordeal, or, you know, I call it the recovery stage when we're dealing with something from our past that we're moving through. But in any kind of heroic journey, that is the great ordeal, the challenge where you're beginning to use muscles you haven't used and move into a space you haven't moved into. And then there's the reward. Then there's the book that's produced. Then there's the radio show. Then there's the practicing shining in this new space.
Yeah. So we totally skipped our third break because we were just chatting too much in a good way. So I want to transition us into my fourth segment. I always ask the same question, which is, how do you show up in your life with intention? And for you and I in this space, it's really about the shining stage, mm-hmm. right? We connected for you the shining stage in my showing up with intention question together. So what does that mean to you?
Well, that means that I'm really, really, the work of Paraloom is, I often tell people, I'm just pioneering a path for creating a life I love in the aftermath of incest and child sexual abuse and sexual violation, and seeing what's possible, and then inviting other people to join me in that in their own way. And so for me, living with intentionality and shining without shame is simply the regular practice of being in my voice and choice, of being big on the inside and playing big on the outside, and doing the work, doing my mini heroic journey that come up as things come up. Because one of the things, and I'm sure you recognize this in your own life, is that when we are being and playing big, we get bigger invitations. And every time we get a bigger invitation to level up, then the stuff comes up again. It can. And so I just keep that in front of me. I keep the tools in front of me and I use them. And my practice of choosing authenticity in my life and following my heart is all a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do it so well. My gosh, Lisa, that was our hour. Can you believe it?
I can't. It went so
You know what? Really, like, the piece that I want to take away, that I want the listeners to take away, I mean, there's so many. But seriously, this invitation to level up, I like the way that you've framed it. Instead of like, oh my God, is there more stuff that I have to clear again? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I get a choice to level up. I think that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that.
Yes.
Again, everybody, if you want to learn more about Lisa and what she's up to and view her TED Talk, you can go to paralume.com. That's P-A-R-I-L-L-U-M-E, paralume.com. She's got so many tools on there and her blog, so a bunch of beautiful tools. You guys definitely check that out. And, you know, rewiring your life is about creating a new nervous system, one choice at a time, moment by moment. And with a new nervous system, you'll be a new person looking at the world with new glasses. And if you're ready to look at your life differently, to heal wounds, and to shift your thinking, let's talk. I have several ways of working together, from online classes to one-on-one coaching, and you can definitely learn more about what I'm up to at audreymichelle.com. All my info is on the contact page, and you can sign up for my quick tools, learning to listen to your body. That is all on my website. So you guys, I want to thank my guest, Lisa Foster, today of Paralum, for sharing such beautiful information. And thank all of you for tuning in to Rewired Life Radio. I had a wonderful time. Again, you can join me on Wednesdays at noon Pacific by going to rewiredliferadio.com or on transformationtalkradio.com. So next week, we will be chatting with my dear friend, Virginia Sunshine. She's a personal chef and a major foodie. So she's going to help us get inspired in the kitchen, which I definitely need. And so anyways, you guys have a great week. And remember, tune in next Wednesday for more Rewired Life Radio.
You've been listening to Rewired Life Radio, Learn to Love, Heal, Celebrate, with author, speaker, and spiritual growth coach, Audrey Michelle. You can listen live each Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Download the podcast and connect with Audrey at AudreyMichelle.com. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled M-I-C-H-E-L.com.